Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Here we are, Friday morning in our get-together out on the West Coast, and how nice.
Bob, we like to start the show with listener questions. Our first one comes from Andrew. From Andrew, Bob, as we head into Bob's annual forecast for a potential crisis to be discovered in the fall, which of the following appears to Bob to be the most likely cause or serve as the cover story for the markets to begin their descent? And these suggestions, the Japanese carry trade imploding as the yen continues to strengthen, the assassination of Trump, monkeypox, now known as mpox, and who cares? All that matters is when and not why.
The last one. Yeah, often you can have a strong up into mid-year. And we had straight ups all over the place, especially with the Magnificent Seven plus various individual stocks there. Hugely, hugely. Now, if it hadn't have got overbought then, it would have been a rise in the lengthy bull market. But it went crazy overbought. So somewhere in here, the stock market side should get hit more than it has. There's been some nasty whipsaws out there. And we still fall back on the fact that if there's going to be a credit crisis discovered, it'll likely be discovered in the fall. So that is a probability.
Our next question comes from Michael. Michael asks, how long does a typical post-bubble contraction last? I'm thinking of terms of buying a house towards the end of that contraction.
Yeah, they last about 20 years. The great 1873 was a great financial bubble, and Walter Bagehot was the esteemed editor of The Economist in London, and he wrote that a recession was a form of neuralgia, and they could be prevented by appropriate issue of central bank credit. And he published that in 1873. That was the top of that great magnificent bubble. And by 1880, the prolonged weakness, a senior economist in London began calling it the Great Depression. That's the first time that I saw that phrase in the literature, and it lasted till 1895. And the way to keep track of, one of the ways of keeping track of the long contractions is that interest rates go down with the bust and like for treasury bills. So the 1929, you had that party, and the low in interest rates was 1946. Of course, World War II was such a huge effort, and it began in 1939, that in the United States and Canada, it prevented the economy from continuing to shrink. So it was an extraordinary event. But generally, you can look for a 20-year contraction with the usual 3 or 4 year business cycle coming and going, and the recoveries may be weak, and the recessions may be severe.
We have Third set of questions, also from Michael. Market Watch headline, Dow surges to a record as investors celebrate Fed's recalibration rate cut. Is a recalibration rate cut a newly invented Fed tool?
Yeah, I don't recall seeing it. The main thing is that the T-bill rate peaked a couple of months ago and has been coming down. Down maybe by about 40 beeps, in which case the Federal Reserve has to follow in making a Fed cut. And the street for the last month has been celebrating that when the Fed cut comes, the party will be wonderful, but they haven't looked in history. Short rates, such as T-bills, go up in the boom and down in the bust. The worst thing that can happen is to have the T-bill rate peak, which it did, and is now down enough that it's broken the uptrend. So short rates are falling, and short rates falling is a disaster. So, yeah, they could go. The T-bill rate could again go down to zero. So, yeah.
Now, Michael goes on to say, Bob, the markets are surging. Unemployment is low, but inflation is still high. But Fed Chair Powell thinks the economy is in great shape, so his policy response must be then to lower rates. Bob, I'm confused. I thought the Fed only cut rates when the economy is slowing. Also, consumer borrowing costs remain high, as well as mortgage rates. And it appears the money supply has been falling steadily. Bob, what's going on? Nothing seems logical.
No, we had short rates went up until a couple of months ago, and they've turned down. That is a warning that the big financial party is over. So you just wait and see. The speculation in financial side has been extraordinary, and somewhere it comes apart. And as I said, when financial markets come apart, it's usually in the fall. So I think we'll see some hits to the credit markets before the end of the year.
And finally, for Michael, are the markets finally at that permanently high plateau that was once envisioned in 1929? In other words, Bob, I think he's saying, so this time it's different.
Yeah, it is always tempting to say that. And the plateau, gosh, I forget he was a highly stationed economist in the late 1920s and was personally himself speculating in the market, and he's the one that had plateaus. And so in early 1929, he said that the stock market had reached a plateau level from which it would then advance further. And instead, it went into the horrendous post-1929 crash. I think the S&P gave up something like 87%. But at that time, New York was the junior market. London was the senior. And London's stock index fell in half. Whereas New York being more of a junior market, the S&P fell, as I say, the number in my head is 87%. So here we are now. U.S. is the New York is the financial center of the world, and so I think the S&P will fall in half, and lesser exchanges in other countries will get the full wacko.
Well, so kind of opposite of what Tilius Marcus Cicero said, which was, Bob, what happens in the lesser markets eventually comes home to roost in Rome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that was observed 2,000 years ago when he noted that if there was a problem in Asia provinces like Phoenicia, which was there, they had important trading ports and posts there, and that problem, if you had a problem in the outer provinces, it would eventually come and hit the center, which was then in Rome. And, of course, that is the way it works.
And if Rome's taking it on the chin, the rest of the provinces are getting it in a place, let's say, about 3 feet shorter?
Further south, yeah.
Yeah, further south.
Well, this is where, like, the problems in the China financial markets now are really impaired. They've been hit. So it's just a matter of time as to when the contraction hits the U.S.
Bob, I know people don't like naysayers, but you're just going on historic background. It's not personal opinion, is it?
Oh, a little personal, yeah. But essentially, all of the great financial bubbles have much in common. Crazed speculation going straight up, using huge amounts of leverage, and you have the pattern of behavior in short-dated rates, which when they turn down, it's saying disaster. The real, the U.S. dollar, the senior currency goes up, which it has been. The real price of gold deflated goes up, which it has been. And real long interest rates deflated go up, which it has been. So four out of the four key features of that monitor the transition from a great financial bubble to a great financial bust are saying that it's on path to a severe contraction. And that's even going to hit the gold stocks, too. Now, they've been doing very well and will do well for the next couple of decades when most of commerce and industry is plagued by a Great Depression. But you still have to kind of trade them. But gold stocks recently have broken out, but we're watching for the next overbought on gold stocks. So, and our shareholder, our subscribers will be advised, of course, when that comes. And then also, Jim, we've got the list of junior gold exploration bets, which is a diversified portfolio of junior gold stocks. It's business-like way of getting into the sector.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, this headline comes from the Wall Street Journal. The Fed's interest rate cut debate, how big should it be?
Or how frequently will the Fed cut? It's going to be cutting many, many cuts. It just depends whether they do 25 basis points or 50 basis points at a time. Short rates go down in a bust, and the central bank follows with their administered rate. It's all a scam. They're trying to look in charge of things, but when Mother Nature lowers the T-bill rate, and it's, as I said, it's now down by about 40 beeps, the Fed has to follow and start cutting the administered rates. And the point being is that falling short rates indicates the disaster. So short rates going up is the boom. Short rates going down is the bust.
Now, so many people expect lower interest rates to boost the economy, boost employment, boost investment. It hasn't worked in the past.
Never.
Why would it work now?
No, it's an incredible intuitive item that becomes very popular. So, I don't know. It's a panacea. It doesn't work, but I keep the headlines on that, and there's quite a few statements about it. One I kept from September 2007 by the head guy at Harris Bankers Trust or whatever it was, and he said rates were going to go down, and it would certainly help the stock market. And the S&P sold off hugely, and the Treasury bill, which had been around 5%, went all the way down to damn near, well, effectively 0%. While the stock market was happening, and if you put a chart up, you can chart the S&P against the T-bill rate, and there are times when both plunged hugely at the same time. So those who are calling for short rates going down are right, but those who are calling that it'll help restore the party, absolutely dead wrong. So, and we'll see how this goes over the next few months. Yeah,
and Zero Hedge also has a related headline. Stocks and bonds up while traders boost 50 basis point bets.
Yeah.
Is it a bet? It's not really investment? Is it like going to the casino?
That's the way a headline writer will write a headline. Hmm. That a plan to do something is called a bet.
Okay.
But ineffectively, yeah, the market is betting on certain outcomes, and who knows?
Well, outside of NVIDIA, Apple, and Microsoft, stocks haven't been going up.
But nothing as dramatic as that. But I watch the advanced decline line each day, and until this week, it was going straight up. So the ADs were doing quite well. It was a healthy, broad market advance. And the AD line is getting about as overbought as it gets. So there's also a potential change coming into the advanced declines, and that's going to be another one to follow. Watch it, see if it rolls over. Yeah.
And from Reuters, analysis ignoring risk, investors still buying U.S. junk debt with weak protections.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The market for the junk, JNK is the symbol, and it's up there at new highs. Same with HYG, which is another high yield bonds. And then there's the dreadful one, HYUG or whatever it is, which is global corporate low grade bonds. That thing's going to, they're all these junk bonds. They're at exceptional risk in the contraction. There, many of them are going to go no bid because the company's gone broke and there's no way of servicing that debt. And then on top of that, many of the investment grade bonds that were floated with the party, they then become junk as well. And then, yeah, junk in a post bubble contraction is horrible because they just eventually, many of them go no bid, they default. So,
Bob, do you have anything more on the gold juniors? Are they still a good bet?
It's a good way to get into the game. You can buy the gold seniors, but you're going to just get market performance out of that. But if you have a little portfolio of junior gold stocks, oh, you can get stuck with a couple of them maybe, but you just have to have one or two work out well. I remember we did this in 1996 and had it would look like we were going into a good exploration market, and I had one of the top guys putting together a list of five junior gold stocks. Well, one of them was Arequipa, and they made that discovery in Ecuador or wherever it was, and the stock went up to a market cap of $1.1 billion. I think Barrick took them over, and that was the equivalent of $30 a share on a penny stock. So having, say, 10 or 11 of these junior gold stocks is a really business-like way of getting positioned in the gold stocks. And you don't have to leverage up on these, but if the ones that go, they'll do very well. And maybe one of them, two of them may just turn into turkeys, who knows. But it's a business-like way of getting exposure in the gold sector that can do well.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and let's look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.